The introduction of the First Thessalonians is rather interesting, but it will be brief. So let's move on to this. In my opinion, there are two epistles which are the pinnacle of the New Testament, in other than the four Gospels of Jesus Christ. They are the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians by Apostle Paul. They are weighty and full of theology, yet extremely practical. In contrast to these two mighty battleships, the First Thessalonians is rather an intimidating book that we can recommend to new Christians to read. This is the oldest letter, in my opinion, if I'm correct. This is the oldest letter of the Apostle Paul to have found its way into the canon of the Scripture. However, we shouldn't think that this book does not contain any important doctrine at all. As a matter of fact, it deals with the basic truths that they need to know as a newborn Christian, as well as the most described sequence of the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ, in this precious book. Apostle Paul's teaching about the holy living and the life shaped by the eternity are just as relevant for us today as they were for the believers in Thessalonica more than 1900 years ago. This book can be divided into two sections. First portion is chapter 1 through 3. It's like a looking back to the deal with the basic doctrine of Christianity, especially dealing with the sanctification and individual believers. And chapter 4 through 5 is looking ahead to give them a glimpse of the rapture of the Jesus Christ and to encourage this persecuted Christian in Thessalonica. What's the purpose of this book? Let's look at that one too. It is to encourage the Thessalonians to preserve through their trials and difficulty to excel in their walk with Christ. Paul also wanted to remind them about keeping our hopes up in the Lord for his promised return for his saint. Many people cannot tell the clear difference of the definition between the appreciation and affirmation. Of course, we appreciate what the person does. We affirm who he is. Most of us is fairly good at showing appreciation, but we can pretty much say that we kind of fall a little short when it comes to giving affirmation. Of the two, the second one is far more valuable and important to the other person. As I said before, anybody can give appreciation, but it takes a special person who is a thoughtful person to give affirmation to the other person. And that builds up that person. Apostle Paul wanted the Thessalonians to excel in their works, as I said before, and he saw that as how well these believers are walking in their faith. As he affirmed them, he urged them to continue the walk of faith that even more powerful and more consistent and more passionate. Paul had yet one more reason to write a letter to these people. Some Christians were raising questions about the return of Jesus Christ to earth, particularly some who are confused about the believers who already passed away before Jesus returned. Would these people, deceased people, somehow miss out their life after death? So they were asking, would these people be left behind when the Jesus come to take the alive people with him forever? Apostle Paul responded this concern with a direct and encouraging answer. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the churches of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from our God, God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul writes on behalf of his two companions, Silas, also Silvanus, that is Silas, and Timothy, who has been with him in Thessalonica. He himself found the church in Thessalonica and prosperous capital of the province of Macedonia, which is the northern side of Greece, located in the famous Egnatian Way in between the Europe and the Middle East. So it's a very, very busy port during his second missionary journey. He was only in the city for a short time because he was forced out by the enemies of the gospel. Yet the churches of the Thessalonians continued to be alive and active. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through the Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, and explaining, demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Of course, we know that the Christ means Messiah. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greek, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, gathering a mob, and set the whole city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find him, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the ruler's city, and crying out that these who have turned the world upside down have came here too. Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying there is an other king, Jesus. When they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city, they had heard these things. So when they had taken the security from the Jason and the rest, they let him go. Prior to Thessalonica, he and Silas was imprisoned in Philippi. Remember that? Then miraculously freed from jail, only to be kicked out of the city. Now that he came to Thessalonica. From the Thessalonica, he went to he went down to Athens after the brief stay in Berea, and then he cut across the city of Corinth. While in Corinth, in the spring of the AD 50, Apostle Paul penned this first letter to the believers who lived in Thessalonica. While he was in Corinth, it's like that Paul was greatly concerned about the churches that he had just found. He wondered about their situation. Of course, he was their shepherd. He cared about his sheep. While at Corinth, the sheep, Silas and Timothy came to him from Thessalonica with great news. Church there was strong, and Apostle Paul became so excited that he dashed off this letter to the people of Thessalonica, and probably this became the first letter to any churches. Let's continue in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, underline next phrase please, your work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and the Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Underline your election by God, please. Election by God means that these people and other born-again Christians are chosen by God. this election by God can be quite a controversial subject. Doctrine of the divine election, also known as a predestined doctrine, confuse some people and frighten others. Trying to explain the election is a good way to lose one's mind. Why? Because it cannot be explained without a puny mind. But trying to ignore it is a good way to lose one's soul. We will never understand the total concept of election this side of heaven. But we should not ignore this important doctrine that is taught throughout the Bible. So let's notice some obvious fact about the divine election. I find four things. Number one, salvation begins with God. John 15:6. Okay. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. See, the entire plan of salvation was born in the heart of God long before the man was created or universe was formed. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is that salvation involves God's love. Romans 5:8, please. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Out of God's love for us, there are God's grace and mercy. God in His grace gives us what we do not deserve. God in His mercy does not give us what we deserve. Third point I'd like to bring it to you is that salvation involves faith. Salvation involves faith. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. Okay, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves, but it is the gift. It is the gift of God. Folks, the Spirit of God used the Word of God to generate faith from those who are already chosen. This is a sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Fourth point I'd like to bring it to you is salvation involves the Trinity. Salvation involves the Trinity. While we grow in the Lord through the Bible, we get to learn that there is one God existing in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, also known as the Trinity. Let's keep in mind that all three persons are involved in our salvation. How? Let me put it this way. Father God knew in His infinite knowledge who are going to come to His Son Jesus before the beginning of the creation. So He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that the Son conquered death and rose again from the grave and sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. When the Word of God comes to individual by the power of the Holy Spirit, who teach each one of us about the way of salvation through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that person accepts Jesus into their heart. Then the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and resides in there and seal him with his own power as a deposit that guarantees eternal life in heaven. See that how Trinity works together? This will help us escape the dangerous extreme that either denied human responsibility or the diluted divine sovereignty. Because both are taught in the Bible. Human has a choice to accept God's offer for his life or reject to be doomed in hell. But God knew who is going to come to him. Some people believe that it is not necessary to go out to evangelize the world, because those who are elected will be saved no matter what. Is that true? Yes, absolutely it is true. But if we don't go, if we don't get involved in the process of evangelism, we are the one who is missing out a great move of God and blessing of God. And the fifth point I'd like to bring to you is a salvation changes lives. Well, that's no doubt, right? How did Paul knew that this Thessalonians are elected of God? He saw the change in their lives. If you put this 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 next to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 through 10, we can get this comparison. On the left side, work of faith. On the right side, turning to God from the idol. See, because of the work of faith, we can have action that is turning to God from idols. The labor of love and action is serving the living and true God. Patience of hope, they get. So what they do? They're waiting for His Son from heaven, and whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivered us from the wrath to come. There are three evidences of the Christian life. Faith and hope and love are the three cardinal virtues of a Christian life, and the three greatest evidence of salvation. Faith. Let's start with the faith. Faith must always lead to works. Remember the book of James. James chapter 2:26. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, for faith without work is dead also. We are not saved by faith plus works, but by faith that works. If the Thessalonians had continued to worship their dead idol while they're professing faith in living God, that would have proved that they are not among God's elect. Because they discarded their idol worship and they turned their face to God, that is a good evidence of true Christianity. Second thing is, the second evidence is love. Love is evidence of salvation. We serve Christ because we love Him. This is a labor of love that Paul mentioned. Again, we go back to the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. 14, 15. In John, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we really love Jesus, we would keep His commandment. We wouldn't discard His commandment and saying, well, yeah, I love you, Jesus, but I'm not going to do what you said. That doesn't jive. That doesn't fly. Because we love Him, we want to do what is right in His way. Third point is hope. Hope is the evidence of salvation. We are waiting for Jesus to return. The return of Jesus Christ is the dominant theme of both these two Thessalonians letters. Unsaved people are not eagerly waiting for that return of Jesus Christ. In fact, they insist that there is no such a thing as a return of Jesus Christ. And there is no rapture. Or they even say, well, it's not going to happen in another 2,000 years. They will be surprised. Verse 5 of chapter 1 of Thessalonians, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The word of God is more than the word. It is also has a power to change mind and hearts and lives. Of course, you know these three verses I'm going to quote. So let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thought and intent of a heart. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I'm sure you guys know this verse by heart. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's great, isn't it? One more verse. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent. When the Holy Spirit works through the word, the spiritual work, great spiritual work, is accomplished. There is a spiritual work of God's Word goes far beyond the basic education level value of the learning Bible. We don't come here, we should not come here just to have another Bible knowledge. When we come here, we here have an expectancy, we should have that expectancy that God's going to speak to our heart. We're going to hear from God's voice. That is what we should expect. Let's continue. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians. And you became the follower of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. When the Thessalonian Christians faced affliction from the receiving the word, they did not face with a resigned fatalism. They faced with the joy of this Holy Spirit. Wow. These people, even the short time they were under the feet of, at the feet of the Apostle Paul, they learned it well. Verse 7. So that you became example to all in Macedonia, Achaia, who believed. From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. They encourage the other churches. The Christian can either encourage or discourage each other. This principle applies also to the churches. The church must never compete with one another in a worldly manner, but we can encourage one another in love and to do good works. Verse 9. Now we find hope in Christ. For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had had to you, how you returned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. When they worship the idol, the Thessalonians had no hope. Just like when any one of us replaced Jesus with anything else, that is idol worship, and when we don't find any hope. But when they trusted this living God, one true God, they had the living hope. Those of us who have been brought up in the Christian doctrine cannot understand the bondage of pagan idolatry. Let's go to Psalm 115, verse 4 through 9. Psalm 115. Their idols are silver and gold, and the works of the man in his hand. They had mouth, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nose they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they cannot handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help, and He is their help and their shield. Christians are waiting for Jesus, and He may return any time. We are not waiting for any signs, but we are waiting for the Savior. We are waiting for the redemption of body and the hope of righteousness. When Jesus Christ returns to us, when He returns, we shall receive a new body. We shall be like Him. We will receive that glorified body. That we can walk through the walls, we can walk without the door, and we can move from one place to another at the thought, speed of thought. Expecting Lord's return is a great motivation for the soul winning and Christian stability. Let's make application. What every church should be is what every Christian should be. I find the four E's. Elect, born again, exemplary, imitating the right people. Enthusiastic, sharing the gospel with others. Expectant, daily looking for Jesus to return. Hope, faith, and love. Three evidence of Christianity. True Christianity. Let's stand up and pray.